Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph, and we're learning Perek Tes Zayin, and we learned at the beginning of the Perek last week. I think we got through Pasuk Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Shmuel to go and find the new king. Of course, we know the new king is David, but Shmuel didn't know that just yet, and at the end of last week, we discussed that he gets to the house of Yishai, and he sees the first son, which is Eliav, and he thought Eliav was the oldest. Some of the Mepharshim say Eliav was also particularly tall and good-looking, just like Shaul, and he thought, this is it. Maybe this is the one. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel in Pasuk Zayin, which is what we concluded with last week, "Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel al tabet el marehu, v'al gova komaso, ki me'astihu." Right? Don't look at his external appearance. Don't look at his height, because I despised it. And it's, we said it's a machlokas in the Mefarshim. Are we referring to Eliyahu here? Are we referring to Shaul HaMelech? But either way, the point is that, you know, whoever we're referring to, the point is, don't look at the externals, right? Don't judge a book by its cover, as they say. Every wise phrase really has roots in Tanakh somewhere. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam, ki ha'adam yireh la'inayim, v'Hashem yireh la'levav. And Hashem says, because I don't look at people the same way that man, that other people look at people. I look at the heart. Other people, they look at the externals. They look at the inayim. They look at the eyes, the looks. I look at the internal. I look at the lave. That's what's important. And therefore, I'm going to be the one who's deciding who the next king is going to be, and not you, based on the external appearances that you might see. That was Pasuk Zayin.
Rabbi.
Last week. Yeah.
You used the word, a very strong word, despised. The Gemara was using the word rejected.
Rejected.
That's a very big difference.
Yeah. 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 I mean, listen, the word in Hebrew is me'astihu. Me'astihu is a strong word. Limos is generally translated as to despise something. So I understand that practically it means that he was rejected. But it is a strong term. And we've seen this, you know, in last parak also. Once Shaul sinned, and Kadosh Baruch Hu let him know and told Shmuel, you know, the language was this language of ma'us. You know, when you describe something, even in modern Hebrew as ma'us, or it's mius, it's disgusting. It's like, it's gross. So it is a very strong term. And that's because of the chait. You know, this was Hashem had a very strong reaction to the chait that Shaul did. Okay, now we're up to Pasuk Ches. Vayikra Yishai el Avinadav. Vayavirehu lifnei Shmuel. So now again, they don't know which son it is. They know it's one of the sons of Yishai. So Yishai brings the next son. And he passes him before Shmuel. The next son's name was Avinadav. Vayomer gam bazeh lo vachar Hashem. And Shmuel said, this one too is not the right one. This one too is not the right one. Pasuk Tes, Vayaver Yishai Shama, Vayomer Gambozelo Vachar Hashem. So he passes the next son, Shama. And he says, you know, Shmuel again says that this is not the right son. And essentially, the Mefarshim, the Radak, points out that how did Shmuel know that all these were not the right sons? Because Hashem said that the son Asher Omar Elecha, I'm going to inform you which one is the right one. And now, all these sons, Eliav, Avinadav, Shama, they're all passing by, and Hashem is remaining silent. So Shmuel knows if Hashem is remaining silent, then obviously these are not the sons that are destined to be the king. Pasuk Yud, Vayaver Yishai Shivas Banav, Lifnei Shmuel. So he passes all seven sons before Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel al Yishai lo vachar Hashem ba'ele. So Shmuel says to Yishai again, none of these, right? None of these seven sons.
Why did they say the names of the first three? And
that's a good question. That's right. Well, David is because he's the right one. But why mention the names of the first three and not the others? Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't say that. None of the ones that I saw. Yeah, no, I didn't see every single parish, but the ones that I saw did not address it. The only thing I can think of is that maybe once he had three, it's already like, you know, we say three times is a chazakah. So once it's three already, it's kind of a chazakah that it's not going to be these sons. So mentions the three. And then the rest of them are just kind of like, you know, lumped in with that.
He had seven sons. Well, brought them all, but David isn't one of them.
So it's seven. Okay. So the Metsudas David points out here that it sounds from the Pasuk that he has seven sons plus David. Because it says that he passed all seven sons, and Shmuel said, "Lovachra Hashem ba'ela." Right? David hasn't come yet. We're going to see in the next pasuk, David hasn't come yet. So it sounds like Yishai had a total of eight sons, seven sons plus David. But the Metsudas David points out that if you look in Divrei Hayamim, it says that Yishai only had seven sons total. Seven sons total. So it's a little strange. This pasuk is a little strange. So the Metsudas David tries to figure out maybe there's another son or another kid. He's referred to as the brother of David, but maybe he's not a real son. You know, he has a whole cheshma to try to figure it out, but it's not so clear. From this pasuk, it sounds like it's seven plus David. That's what it sounds like. Okay, so if you look at pasuk Yud Aleph, now here we're introduced. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Hatamu Hanarim. So Shmuel says, is that it? Right? He knows somebody's got to be missing because we passed, all seven sons passed by, and Hashem didn't say anything about any of them. And I know I'm supposed to come here, and one of your sons is supposed to be the king, so it's got to be somebody missing. Hatamu ha'arim. Vayomer, oh, the sha'ar ha'katan. He says, oh, there's one more. The young one, the little guy. There's one more son, the young son. One more remaining. He's shepherding the sheep, right? And of course, we're introduced to David HaMelech as a shepherd. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. All the great Jewish leaders were shepherds. And the Medrash says that the Medrash focuses on the significance of a shepherd, that a shepherd has to worry about each little sheep, right? Each little shepsela, the shepherd has to worry about. And, you know, one little sheep goes off, one little sheep goes off leg and can't walk, and the shepherd's got to take care of that little sheep. So that's exactly the point. So therefore, so every Jewish leader, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure Moshe was a shepherd, Yoshua, and David was a shepherd to train them how to care for each and every member of the flock. Vayomer Shmuel al Yishai, Shilcha v'kachenu. So Shmuel says, oh, you have one more. There's one more son. Shmuel knows it must be him. It must be him. Go send for him and bring him here. Ki lo nasov ad bo'ofo. Right? We won't eat. Nasov is from the language of Heseba. Right? We won't lay down to eat until he comes here. Okay? So go send someone to get him and bring him. Right? The Radak points out that they already brought the karbonos. Right? Remember, Shmuel came with karbonos, so they brought the karbonos, and everybody was prepared to eat. But he says, "And we're not eating yet until this son comes." And in fact, they're not going to eat until David is anointed. The Malbim says that Shmuel's question "Hatamu hane'arim" was actually a rhetorical question. He knew that there must be another son, right? He knew that it's got to be there's another son because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to come here, and one of these sons is going to be the one. And seven passed by and nothing, so there's got to be one more. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach Vayiviyehu. So they send for David, and he comes. V'hu Admoni im Yefei Einayim. David was a redhead. He was a redhead, a gingy, as they call them in Hebrew. Im Yefei Einayim, he had nice eyes. V'tov Roi. He looked good. He was a good-looking kid. Vayomer Hashem, Kum Mishachehu, Kizehu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, get up and anoint him, because this is the one. This is the one. So it's interesting. Let's talk. We'll get to the Malbim in a second. The Malbim is a fascinating approach here, of course. So just in terms of the Pashup shot, so Kumishacheu ki hu zeh, right? Get up and anoint him, ki hu zeh. So the Radak says that, you know, he's a good-looking kid, as the Pesukim describe. He's a good-looking kid. He's fit to be the king. Kum is the language of Zirus, Pashup shot. Like, get up, let's go, right? You know, to be energetic about it, to be excited and zealous about anointing the new king. The drash, the medrash, according it says the Radak, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying kum, right? The anointed one, the one who's going to be anointed as the next king of Klal Yisrael, is here, is waiting, and you're still sitting. You're still sitting. Kum, you got to get up, right? So that's the question: is it just a zeros, or is it telling him no? You really have to stand up. You know, the new king is here. Kizehu, what's kizehu? Again, the pshat is. Kizehu, this is the one who will be the king, right? The Radak offers a few different pshatim here. This is the one that'll be the king. This is the one like you thought. This is the one I was referring to. The Metzudas David said, this is the one I have chosen. But the drash is, the kihu zeh, specifically David will be anointed. And Chazal learned from these words, kihu zeh, right? Kumishacheo kihu zeh, that only kings from Malchus based David require anointing with the Sheren HaMishcha, right? Any other king, even Shaul, we saw, was not anointed with he was anointed, but he wasn't anointed with the same Shemen, right? It was the Pach and not the Keren, right? A whole different system of anointing. The anointing with the Sheren HaMishcha is only Kihu Zeh, is only for David and his descendants. That's it. Now the. It's interesting. Why do we care that he was a redhead, right? The pasuk describes him as Vehu Admoni, right? Do we care what color hair he had? Do we know what color hair anybody else in Tanakh has?
Also nice eyes.
Yeah, nice eyes. Okay, so that you could say, you know, listen, that we could justify that the pasuk has to describe that he was a good looking person because the Malach has to be a good looking person. We said he was tall and handsome, not nice eyes maybe, but yeah, everybody's got something different. But we said he was tall and handsome, right? Mishichma v'mala.
Esav, redhead.
Esav, okay, good. Esav was a redhead, right? That we learned about, and that's not a good thing, right? That's not a good thing, right? Kula admoni, not a good thing. So says the Metzudas David. I'm sorry, says the Malbim, that in fact, the fact that he was a redhead was a bad sign. Why? Because red, you know, the Chazal say that when a person is a redhead, that's a sign of an innate anger and aggression and temper. That's what Chazal say, right? Like Esav. Esav was a redhead, so he had this innate aggression and anger. That's correct. So the question is that if, you know, if we just see that he's a redhead, says the Malbim, so he never would have selected him, right? Shmuel would never have thought that David was going to be the king because he was a redhead, and that's a sign of anger. It's a sign of aggression. Externally, he did not seem fit to be king because of this. Despite the fact that he was a Yefei Einayim, as the Pasuk says, right? The Pasuk says he was Yefei Einayim V'Tov Roi. So that does imply that he was someone who saw things in the right way, analytically. He was a well-balanced person. So he saw, you know, you see in this person, you see this cholent of different qualities. Some of them good, some of them negative, right? Some positive, some negative. He's got a mixture of different qualities in here. And if Shmuel had just seen this kid and looked at him, Shmuel would have said, he's not fit to be the king. Correct. Exactly. So Hashem knew that despite these midos, David HaMelech had a mida of aggression. He had a mida of whether it was anger or a temper or aggression. He had that inside of him. And that's what the redhead, that's what the Admoni, that's what the redhead symbolized. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that David was such a holy neshava, you're such a special person, that he was able to take those negative qualities and the negative characteristics and channel them for the positive. And what did he do? He used them to fight against the enemies of Bnei Yisrael, right? And in fact, later we know that this worked against him because he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him? You can't. Your hands are bloody, right? Because you killed so many people. You waged so many wars. That was David's role. Because of that midah that David had, that was his role, that he was able to channel it in a positive way, and he was able to use it for Kedusha. He was able to use it for Kedusha. So, you know, the lesson here, of course, for us, is that even David HaMelech had a negative midah, right? Even David, the great David HaMelech had a negative midah. He had something that was an imperfection, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's still fit to be the king. Why? Because he's going to take this imperfection and channel it and use it for Kedusha, use it for something positive. And we can also do the same. We all have imperfections. And we can also do the same thing. The Gemara says that if a person sees that he has anger, right? You know, he has a midah of anger, what should he do? He should become a shochet. Become a shochet. Why? He'll take your anger out, right? And use it for Kedusha. Here, you can kill animals. Again, you know, not, you know, obviously you have to do it according to halacha, not in a very, you know, in a way that's not injurious to the animals, and you know, can't have tzar balei chayim, you know, but you could channel those midos into your profession and use it for a kedusha. That's what David HaMelech was. He had something negative. There was something. It was admoni. The pasuk is saying it was a negative quality. It was a fault. It was something that was a chisaron in David HaMelech. He wasn't perfect. You know, sometimes people tie on the art school biographies. They make all the gedolim come out. You know, they make them out to be perfect from birth, right? Everybody, you know, they came out of the womb. They already knew shas. You know, they were already had good midos and they knew shas from the womb, and that was it. You know, I remember hearing about a famous letter of Rav Huttner, and then I saw it inside. It's in the sefer of letters that they published from Rav Huttner of Igros. So Rav Huttner writes, you know, we have no idea if the Chafetz Chaim struggled with lashon hara or not. We don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe the Chafetz Chaim struggled with Lashon Hara, and that's why he decided to write, to dedicate his life's work to Shmiras HaLashon. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know. But well, yeah, yes, but there's a volume there. There's a volume in Pachad Yitzchak of the Igros. Yeah. So, but Rav Huttner's point is that not, you know, the Gedolim were, they made themselves into Gedolim. They weren't born as Gedolim. They didn't come out of the womb as Gedolim. They made themselves into gedolim. They took their negative qualities and they channeled them and they perfected themselves to the point where they became gedolei Yisrael. They didn't just start out like we just learned about Rav Yitzchak Shiner Zatzal. Right, he went to public school through high school. You know, he wasn't a person. He wasn't a gadol from birth. He went to public school through high school. Rebbe of mine, right, Rav Tzvi Berkowitz from Ner Yisrael. You know, when he was younger, he grew up in San Francisco. He didn't grow up in a yeshiva. His family was from. You know, but he didn't go to a real yeshiva when he was younger. High school, Baruch Hashem, he went, you know, he never left. He never turned back. And he became a gadol. But, you know, he didn't start out that way. He didn't start out that way. So it's all a matter it's not a matter of what you're born with. It's a matter of what you do with the qualities with which you're born. And that's what we see from David HaMelech. He was an admoni. He had a chisaro. But he took it and he channeled it and he used it for kedusha. And he became David HaMelech. He became David HaMelech. Okay,
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Why with Eliav, they said don't judge a person by his physical characteristics, even though he was good looking. But with David, it says he had beautiful eyes, he was handsome, and it says that people respect the person more when he's good, when his physical appearance is good. So
that is true. That is true. And there are halachos. We've discussed this. There are halachos that a melech has to appear a certain way, has to have a certain external appearance. And I mean, listen, we know even lahavdil, even from society. You know, generally speaking, you take a look at you know, at all the United States presidents of the last 50 years. They're generally, you know, good-looking people who speak well. You know, that's generally who they are. You know, they do need to command a certain respect from the people around them. So that's true when it comes to Jewish kings as well, right? That's true when it comes to Jewish kings as well. What we mean though by don't judge a book by its cover is that it can't just be that. Right? Meaning, of course, you need that. You need the externals in order for people to respect and to look up to the king. But it can't just be about the externals. There's got to be a good lev there also. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, that Hashem yira lalevav. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayikach Shmuel es keren Hashemen vayimshach oso bekerev echov. So Shmuel takes the keren Hashemen, and as we saw, right, this is different than Shaul. Shaul was anointed with a pach, and here we have David, who's being anointed with a keren. This is going to be a long-lasting, everlasting Mashiach, because he's going to be the king, and now the Malchus Yisrael will always remain with the descendants of David HaMelech, even though we know a tkufa of Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda, but at the same time, the real Malchus will never leave Beis David from here on. Shmuel anointed him with the other brothers there, with the other brothers. It's interesting. The Malbim says the Kerev Echav. Maybe the pshat is that Shmuel needed a minion to do the Mashiach. Right? Now you have to make the count. You know, if you had seven sons, plus David is eight, and Yishai is nine, and Shmuel is ten, so you had a minion. So the Malbim says that it's possible that he dafka wanted to have a minion there when he was being Moshech David HaMelech. Why? Because when you have a minion, the Shechina is there. The Shechina is there. So maybe in order to anoint the new king, in order to anoint David, he had to have the Shechina there. He said not everybody agrees with this approach. Some say no, that the Mashiach was done, you know, privately. And Bekerev Echav just means, it doesn't mean literally in front of his brothers. It just means from among his brothers. He was selected from among his brothers. But maybe he was anointed privately. Okay, but either way, Atitzlach Ruach Hashem El David Me'ayom Hahuva Mala. So from that day and on, David HaMelech had a Ruach Hashem, a certain Holy Spirit of Hashem, and that never left him. Vayakom Shmuel Vayelech Haramasa. Shmuel gets up, his job is done, and he goes home. He anointed the new king. Time to go home. The Mefarshim point out here that this Ruach Hashem is very often, Rashi says the Ruach Hashem is a Ruach of Gevura, a Ruach of courage and bravery and strength. And the Radak says this is what enabled him to defeat the many animals, the many enemies that he defeated. There are certain stories with David HaMelech we'll learn about where he fought animals. He fought a lion and a bear and things like that. We'll learn about those stories. And the Radak said this also refers to the Ruach HaKodesh that he was granted, with which he was able to compose his Tehillim, right? David HaMelech, you know, you think about it, it's amazing. It's not just what he was able to accomplish as the king, as the, you know, as the commander-in-chief of the army and the wars that he waged for Bnei Yisrael, but he was able to compose Tehillim. Tehillim we still say each and every day. It's the foundation of our tefillah. It's what we daven when someone is sick. Whenever we want to daven for something, we turn to Tehillim. You know, it's an incredible thing. But that Tehillim was composed by Ruach HaKodesh, and that Ruach HaKodesh was part of this Ruach Hashem, Atitzlach, Ruach Hashem El David, Me'ayom Ahuv Amal, that was part of that Ruach Hashem. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, but Vayakum here probably doesn't mean he just stood up. It means he got up to go. He left it. Okay, now, you know, the Chazal tell us, Ein Shtei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. Right, you can't have two kings that are using the same crown. So what do we do here? Shaul is the king, right? Even though he was just informed that he's going to lose the melucha, but he is still the king. David HaMelech was just anointed, right? And we just learned that there was a certain Ruach Hashem that just enveloped David. So says the Pasuk in Pasuk Yudalid, the Ruach Hashem Sara Me'im Shaul. That when this happened, that special Ruach Hashem that Shaul had left him. Left him, right? The special Ruach Hashem left Shaul. Uvi asatu ruach ra'a me'es Hashem. And now a ruach ra'a, an evil spirit, a negative spirit, a bad spirit, takes the place of the Ruach Hashem in Shaul. Now, this is really fascinating. The Radak says, you know, that basically Shaul began to lose it here, you know, because he all of a sudden he feels that the Ruach Hashem left him, This was no coincidence. This was divine, because the Ruach Hashem now was invested with David. So now Shaul loses it. Now the Malbim says something fascinating. The Malbim says that, you know, that when Shaul was given originally the Ruach Hashem, and again, this Ruach Hashem creates a Ruach HaGevura, creates, you know, courage and also wisdom and Yiras Hashem. That affects the physical body. The physical body that houses this Ruach Hashem is affected by that. hold on. So says the Malbim that when the Ruach Ra leaves, there's a void. There's a void, right? Now that void is felt by the body, because the body had the Ruach Hashem in it, right? The body had the Ruach Hashem in it. The body feels that Kedusha. The body's elevated because of that Kedusha of the Ruach Hashem. Now when the Ruach Hashem leaves, the body feels the void. And then all of a sudden, something has to fill that void. And what fills that void is the Ruach Ra. So the Ruach Ra, the way the Malbim understands it, was not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted in Shaul, but it was just a consequence of once the Ruach Hashem was removed, and now there's a void that's just automatically filled with this Ruach Ra. Yeah. Well, okay. So the question is, what exactly is the Ruach Ra? So it's very interesting. The Mefarshim seem to say, and especially the Malbim, he seems to say that this Ruach Ra was like a depression. It was like a depression or an anxiety. So the Malbim uses the word melancholy for show.
But David also had it.
When?
Later.
Okay, hold on. We're going to learn about that. We're going to learn about it here with Shaul. Okay, so Shaul, according to these Mefarshim, Shaul is now being gripped by basically a depression, right? After this Ruach Hashem leaves him, you know, and he has got this void and he feels this void, he's gripped by a depression. Look at Pasuk Tesvav. Vayomer Avdei Shaul Eilav, Hineinu Ruach Elokim Ra'a Mevayitecha. So his avadim say to him, Shaul, you know, you got to snap out of this. You have this Ruach Elokim that left you, and now you're filled with this Ruach Ra. You got to snap out of it. Either the Ruach Elokim, the Metzudah Savit, means it's a great Ruach, or it's a Ruach Ra that came from Hashem. The Malbim, fascinating. If you look at this Malbim, it's mamish like psychiatry. The Malbim says that, basically, he says that depression can be caused either by chemical imbalances in the brain or by emotional factors. Essentially. I mean, I'm using those words. He doesn't use exactly those words, but he says either it could be a choli, which is related to the biology, to the brain. Okay. Or it could be due to emotional factors. And it could be one or the other. So says the Malbim that once Shaul lost his malchus, he could not stop thinking about his sin, the fact that his sin caused him to lose the melucha, and he sunk into a depression. This is what the Malbim says. He sunk into a depression. So healing a depression can either come through, you know, medication, right? So there's no medication now for Shaul at this point, or it can come through some sort of emotional therapy. What the Avodim are suggesting is to bring music, because the music will act as like a therapy to help Shaul deal with his depression. This is the Malbim. Mamash. Okay, so I'm not sure you're referring to, but we'll get there, I guess. Well, we're learning that. Hold on. Maybe you're thinking about Shaul. Hold on. Pasuk Tezayin. Yomar no Adoneinu avadecha lefanecha. Okay, so the servants are suggesting that you, Adonainu, right, our master, Shaul, right, your servants are before you, suggest that someone should go get, you know, should go find someone who knows how to play the harp, and whenever you're filled with this depression, this negative spirit, the nigain biyado vitovla, he'll play for you, and you'll feel better. right? As the Mitzudas David said, that the fear and the anxiety will dissipate with music. So he says, you know what? It's a good idea. Find someone who knows how to play and bring him to me. The Malbim points out that if you look at Pasuk Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, so Tes Zayin, what do they suggest? Yivakshu ish yodeya menagin bakino. Someone who knows how to play. What does Shaul say? Ru'una li in Pasuk Yud Zayin ish meitiv lenagin. Shaul says, you can't just find someone who knows how to play. I'm still the king. This guy's going to come into the palace of the king, you know, to cheer me up. He can't just be someone who knows how to play. I need an expert. I need an expert musician, right? So I need someone who's meitiv lenagin, someone who's an expert musician to come and play, and him, vavyosem elai, find this person and bring him to me. It's got to be somebody that's ro'oi to come and play for the king. Pasuk Yurches, vayan echad mihane orim vayomer. And it's incredible. The Hashkachas Hashem and how Hashem is moving the pieces here is just incredible. Because who is this menagein? Who is this expert musician? One of the Na'arim says, Hine ra'isi ben li Yishai beis halachmi, yodeya nagein. I know that Yishai from Beis Lechem has a son who knows how to play. Right? He's an expert musician. V'gibor chayil, not just that, but he's strong, he's powerful, he's a strong warrior. The ish melchama, and he knows the strategies of war. Unevon davar, and he knows, and he's wise. He knows how to give advice. The ish toar, and he looks like he's a person of stature. He's a person that's a good-looking person. Hashem imo, and Hashem is with him. And of course, who are you referring to here? We're referring to David. Okay? And that pasuk yitesh, vayishlach shol malachim el Yishai. he knew David, he knew him, right? So Shaul sends messengers to Yishai. Vayomer shilcha elai is David bincha asher batzon. He says, I heard you have a son, David, who's a shepherd. Please send him to me. Okay? Now, this is just unbelievable, right? You can't think of like the Hashkachas Hashem any greater than this, that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving all the pieces into place here, you know, for David and Shaul to meet, and for David eventually to take over, you know, to have, we know, the tension between Shaul and David as it goes on. Now Rashi points out that who was this Echad Mehane Orim? So Rashi says he was Doeg HaAdomi. And the purpose was that he wanted to create an Ayin Hara. He wanted to bring in David so that would create an Ayin Hara and Shaul would be jealous. He wanted Shaul to be jealous. This was Doeg's plan. Okay? Now, it's interesting that both the Malbim and the Radak focus, you know, when we describe David, we're using about five or six different expressions here to describe how great of a person he is. Forget about the musician. That's the first thing he mentions, Yodea Nage. But after that, we mention all these other qualities that he's a Gibur Chayil, and he's an Ish Milchama, and he's in a Navon Davar, Ish Tawar, Hashem Imo. All of these things. Now, what's interesting is that, as the Malbim points out, that many of these things are very strange, and they're usually not consistent with a musician, right? If you think about musicians, they're generally not Gibor Chayil, right? Typically, you think of someone who's an expert, a flutist. You don't think that he's going to be on the Navy SEAL team, right? It's just they're different midos. They're different strengths, and you don't generally put them together. So here you have someone who was an expert musician, and yet he was a Gibor Chayil, and he was an Ish Milchama, and he was a Navon Davar. As the Malbim says, all these things are very strange. They don't seem to fit with a person who was a musician. But David had Alamilus, besides for some of the Chesronos that he had, which we learned about. But he had Alamilus. He had all these Milus, all these wonderful qualities about him that were important as a leader, and especially as a commander-in-chief. And something fascinating also, it says at the end, Vashem Imo, right? Vashem Imo. So the Radak says, how do you know Hashem was with him? How do you know Hashem was with David? How do you know Hashem was with him? Right? So the Radak says, because David was good at everything he did. He was one of these kids that was always successful. Everything he did was he was good at, right? And I just thought to myself that the pasuk by Yosef Hatzadik, what do we say? That when Yosef was sold to the house of Potiphar in Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah says, "Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, Vayhi ish matzliach," right? That Hashem was with him and he was an ish matzliach. So you see by Yosef the connection of being successful. Yosef was also one of these people that was just good at everything and he always rose to the top. But his success was indicative of Vayhi Hashem es Yosef. And that's the same thing here. We know Vashem Imo because he was always good at everything. When you have someone who's good at everything and everything he does, he's matzliach, that means Hashem is with him. Oh, okay. So the Malbim also points out that keep in mind, David was young still, right? He was the youngest of Yishai's sons. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he was the youngest of the sons. We're referring to him as a katan, right? Shar Akatan. Remember, we said he's that little kid. So he was a young person still at this time, and yet still he had all these qualities. So you see that these qualities were innate. He had some innate, beautiful qualities. Okay, so Shaul sends for David, and the Malbim says that he wanted to test him out. He didn't know that he would like him, so he sent him, and he says, send him, let him tell him to come here, and we'll do a trial run, right? Pasuk Chaf. Vayikach Yishai chamor lechem v'nod yayin ugdi izim echad vayishlach b'yadavid b'noel shol. So now that he's coming to the king, you don't go empty-handed to the king, right? Says the Malbim, the minhag is you have to bring an offering, bring some food. So he brought some say it was a donkey that was laden with bread, or maybe it was a giant pile of bread, and he brought a flask of wine and a goat. Right, he brought all these things because when you go to greet someone great, you go to greet the king, you have to bring a mincha, you have to bring some sort of offering. This also reminded me, if you remember, when Shaul first met Shmuel. So if you remember, they were looking for the lost donkeys and the Na'ar said to Shaul, "Hey, why don't we go to Shmuel? He's the Navi, he's right here, let's go to Shmuel. Maybe he'll be able to help us." And what did Shaul respond? "We finished all our food, we have no mincha to bring him." So you see here again, you see the same idea that you come to someone chashuv, you bring something. You bring a mincha. You don't come empty-handed, right? You bring something. Maybe that's the minhag of bringing a kvittel. Shmuel went home. David stayed in Beis Lechem. Yeah. He wasn't the acting king yet. Even though he was anointed, he was not yet the acting king. He was the king elect. Shaul had no idea. Shaul didn't know. Shaul now thinks he's just a musician. Right? Okay. Vayavo David el Shaul. So David comes to Shaul, Pasuk Kafalif. Vayamo lefanav, and he stands before him. He serves him. Vayehavehu me'od. Shaul loves this kid. He loves David. Right? This is his first impression of David. I'm sorry? Yeah, everybody knows Shaul is the king. Shaul is the king, right? Everybody knows Shaul is the king. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if he knows what's going on, Yeah. Lechora David knew he was going to be the king, but he knows Shaul is still the king right now. He's keeping everything under wraps. So David, even though he's anointed, is not the king. He's not the acting king yet. How do we know? Well, I mean, we know that just because he was anointed, Shaul is still acting as the king. We learned also when it came to Shaul that Shaul was anointed, and according to some of Farshim, he didn't start acting as the king until like a year later, till the people accepted him. So it's going to take some time before Shaul, stops being the king and David takes over. Well, David's not saying anything. Well, I mean, he probably was afraid. Why would he want to tell Shaul that he was just anointed as the new king? He would probably get killed. Yeah. I mean, this little kid comes to the king and says, "Hey, I hate to break it to you, but Shmuel just anointed me as the new king. So Hatzlacha Rabba." I don't think that would go very well. Okay, but anyway, Vayehaveu Meod. So Shaul loves Shmuel. Vayhilo no say Chelim. and he became his weapon carrier. We use the words Nosei Kalim to describe the Mefarshim on the side of a page of the Shulchan Aruch or something like that, the Nosei Kalim. Right? But it means, literally, it means the weapon carrier. You know, the king had someone to carry his weapons. He didn't have to schlep his weapons himself. So David became that person. The Malbim says that maybe the end of the Pasuk means that David himself had a weapon carrier. He was promoted so much in the house of the king. He ended up being so chashuv himself in the house of Shaul that he himself got a weapon carrier. Okay.
Pasuk, Rabbi,
place? Yeah.
Do we know about how old David was at this time?
I'm not sure. I would guess that he was a teenager. You know, it describes him as a nar or a katan. So I would guess he's a teenager at this point, but I'm not sure exactly.
19, like, you know, it's,
yeah, it's
a big step, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's young. I mean, we just know the Pasuk says that he was a Pasuk described him as a the katan, right? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ayomer Od Shar HaKotan. So he was the youngest son. We don't know exactly how old he was, but it seems like he wasn't that old. I don't know exactly. Okay, finishing up here. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayishlach Shaul El Yishai Lemor, Yabodna David Lefanai, Ki Matzah Chein Be'enai. So Shaul says, he sends a message to Yishai, and he says, listen, the trial period is over. I'd like to keep him, right? I'd like to keep David. I like him so much. He's great. I'd like him to stay with me, and he can help me. You know, he played the music for him, and he carried his kalim. So he was, he was well liked by Shaul, at least for now. Pasuk of Gimel,
Rabbi. It said when David became king, he was 29 years old.
29. Okay, but he's not king yet, so he's younger than 29.
Yeah. At his anointment, David was 29 years old.
Oh, it says when he was anointed, he was 29?
Yeah, anointment.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I thought he was younger. Okay, very good. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ruach Elokim El Shaul. So now, when Shaul was overcome with depression, as we learned, Shaul now had this depression. Whenever he was overcome by the depression, so then, V'lokach David Es Hakinor, David would take his harp, the Nigain biyado, and he would play for him. Miravach lishol, and Shaul would feel, he would feel relieved. Shaul would feel relieved. Vitovlo, he would feel good. It helped. It made him happy. Vesara me'alav ruach hara, and it removed this ruach ra, this depression that was overcome. This was the first step. This is the first step in a chain of events of David becoming the king, right? The king, again, we know that what's destined to happen is the kingdom is going to be ripped away from Shaul and given to David. That hasn't happened yet. But now this is the first step in the series of events of David becoming the new king. And already his greatness is beginning to be revealed. And Amir Sashem will continue to learn the story of how David HaMelech eventually becomes the new Melech Yisrael. Okay? We'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. Amir Tzah Hashem, we'll pick up next week at Pasuk Test Yudza, Parak Yudzayin, sorry.